Welcome to Out of the Office. I'm your host, Kaylin Spickler, bringing you ideas for your next Out of the Office adventure.
You've got to get that bird's eye view of the valley.
Off the couch and away from video games.
If there was one event I would keep inventing, this is the baby.
Got a few things in store.
Every month we sit down with business owners, regional experts, and everyday people to talk about all there is to offer in the Roanoke region.
That's the thing, right? Like, there's always so much fun stuff to cover on a podcast.
My favorite day.
They're having a blast.
We are loving it.
Happy August, everyone. Welcome back to Out of the Office. Now that school has started, I know many families may be hanging on to the final weeks until fall. I know once school starts, it's always hard because the weather is still nice and you may not want to be indoors. So that's why we have expert memory makers with us today. First, we will be chatting with the founder of the East Coast's largest sunflower festival and vendor show at Beaver Dam Farm. Then we will add more family fun to the conversation by welcoming Regional Center for Animal Care and Protection's executive director. And of course, it wouldn't be an Out of the Office episode without Parks and Rec joining us later. Candace, welcome. I know you all at Beaver Dam Farm are busy amping up for the 2023 season. So thank you so much for taking time to chat with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So to start out, Candace, can you introduce yourself a little bit and talk about the Beaver Dam Sunflower Festival?
This will be our 8th year hosting the Beaver Dam Farm Sunflower Festival in Buchanan. And we have around about 600,000 sunflowers, over 21 acres, and 115 craft and food vendors this year.
Wow, that is awesome. 600,000 sunflowers. That's crazy. I can't even, like, I've been there and I still can't even picture that.
It's a field full.
Yes. How did you get involved with Beaver Dam Farm?
So I've grown up and lived on the farm my whole life.
Okay.
Our family purchased the land back in 1900. We were a tomato cannery to start off with. And then the tomato blight came through the county and wiped all of the tomatoes out. So we transitioned to a dairy farm.
Okay.
And we were a dairy farm for 92 years. And then in 2019, we had to sell out and made another transition into beef cattle.
Mm-hmm.
But to back up a little bit, in 2015, we had an open field and we didn't have any crops in it planted for the cattle. So my dad said, why don't we plant some sunflowers? And I kind of stopped and was like, well, why would we do that? We've never planted them before. The cattle can't eat them. Like, what good is a sunflower going to do?
Yeah.
It's basically what I asked him. And he said, I just like them and we have an open field, so we're just going to plant them.
Aww.
I was like, okay, well.
Yeah.
So he planted them. And we had a little bit of interest from people driving up and down the road saying they were pretty or they wanted to pick a few or take pictures with them.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it. So the next year, he planted them again. And 2 weeks before they were starting to bloom, we were having a meeting because I was bookkeeper at the time for our dairy farm. And I said, you know, we're trying to pay these bills from the dairy farm being a generational family event. And they
right.
had piled up. And I said, if people pay to walk through dead corn in a corn maze, surely they would pay to walk through sunflowers.
Yes.
And he kind of put his head down and was like, where are you going with this? And I said, well, let's have a sunflower festival.
Yeah.
And, you know, his immediate reaction, just because of what he's grown up with, was mm-hmm. what if somebody gets hurt? What if somebody's
right.
wandering around on our property and they shouldn't be? You know, all mm-hmm. the what ifs. And I was like, but what if it works? You
yeah.
know? I mean, he kind of shook his head and he's like, okay. So
he knew it was a good idea.
That was it. You know, we set out, like I said, with only 2 weeks to go. We kind of threw together an event. We didn't have but one vendor, which was an FFA group that came to sell hot dogs and hamburgers and waters, like just in case people showed up. We wanted them to have something to eat. And we had a few of our animals out there and the sunflowers, and the goal was 300 people that day. We were only open one day, and we had 1,600 people show up.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, we were not prepared for that at all. But
those,
you know,
FFA kids had to get yeah, busy on the grill.
At the end of the day, we were like, well, I guess we'll do this again next year. So
yeah.
knowing that we had a whole year to plan for the next one, it's kind of grown from there. The next year we expanded to a full weekend, The year after that, we expanded to 2 weekends.
Okay.
The year after that, we went to 2 weekends and field trip days in the middle. Mm-hmm. And now we're open a full 10 days. We had 35 states attend last year.
Wow.
We had over 20,000 visitors. Mm-hmm. And then our vendor impact, last year, our statistics were we had 102 vendors. And in the days that we were open, they sold over $365,000 worth of their materials. So
that's
being
incredible.
Able to help those families is a big deal to us as well.
Yeah. So what does your dad think about this now?
He got on board after that first year. And he loves seeing all the people come through and talking to everybody and just what it's grown into.
The sunflowers are a very big part of the festival. But like you said, there's more to it. So you all have vendors and sunset dinners, hay wagon rides, live music, and so much more. What can people expect this year?
Definitely. So we do have more than just sunflowers. Over the years, we've added hay rides, kids activities, live music on the weekends. This year, we have 7 bands that will be performing on Saturdays and Sundays. And on the 17th, we have children musicians and cloggers as well. So we have 115 food and handmade craft vendors that'll be set up both weekends. And then on the evenings, and senior day, they'll be there as well. Like you mentioned, we do have 2 sunset dinners. Both of those are already sold out, so be on the look for those next year. And then we do have yoga and goat yoga tickets available as well.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on the sunset dinners and the goat yoga and the field trips? All of those are very special opportunities that you guys have done with the growth that has occurred at the farm.
Yes, so our sunset dinners are special. We decided that we would close for the evening. There's 2 different evenings that we host those dinners. And there's a local church up the road that has a mission team that goes to the Dominican Republic each year. And they, in order to raise money, cater these dinners like all around the county. And so we thought it would be neat to bring them in and have them pick a menu ahead of time. So they pick a 4-course meal, and we have tables set up. We seat 60 at both of these dinners. And they serve from appetizers to salads to main entrees and desserts, everybody that's there. And then they get to tell a little bit about their mission and what they do when they go there. It takes $300 a year to send a child to school over there. Okay. So the money that we raise helps to do that. And then it also helps to build the school that they're building to send these kids to school at. And I know when they started, they didn't even have a bathroom in the school, and they've been able to add things like that and more rooms to the school. So that's a popular event just because since we're closed, those 60 people that come to that dinner have the field to themselves. So they can go out and take pictures, and there's not, you know, lots of other people around. Mm-hmm. We've had lots of people, the boyfriend will buy the tickets to surprise his girlfriend, and then by the time they leave, they're engaged.
Aww.
So that's kind of cool.
So you've gotten to witness that?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And we'll have, they're so cute, because the gentleman will email and be like, I want to propose. Like, can I come out ahead of time and scope out the field and see where the best place is?
Oh,
and
my gosh.
So it is. And we'll help them schedule a photographer and get everything worked out.
Wow.
But those are special times, you know, to remember. And then as far as our field trips, we decided a few years ago to have 1 field trip for preschoolers, 1 for special needs children and adults, and then 1 for senior citizens. And basically because all of those groups, we felt like they needed more time to slow down and to get around without having to, once again, be with all the people. It gives the older ones time to maneuver their way through. It gives those with special needs, you know, they don't get upset if there's too many people or if there's too many loud noises. So it is a great day during those events to kind of have those groups out and just spend time with them. And we set up an educational station while they're there so they can see the sunflower and learn about all the parts of it and what it's used for. So we really enjoy those days as well. And then as far as our goat yoga, that was something I had never heard of until we started the Sunflower Festival. And there's a farm down the road that breeds these goats, and it just so happens they try to breed them while So the babies are, you know, big enough to participate in the goat yoga at the festival. So they'll bring out their babies and the mamas, and we set up an area that all the yoga participants put their mats out in. And then the goats are just turned loose in the goat arena. And while you're doing yoga, they'll jump on your back. They'll come and cuddle with you. It's the cutest thing ever. So that's something special that, you know, we only offer during the festival.
Yeah. It sounds like you guys are really just a magical place. Like, I didn't even realize all that went into it. Having the special needs and senior citizens nights, that's just a really intentional way to make sure everybody can have fun out there. And then having the sunset dinners, and then having that as an opportunity to give back to the community. And I know you mentioned that in other ways by grouping in more vendors. So you guys are just giving back in all kinds of ways, and that's really special.
We have scholarships that we do too.
So. Wow. Okay, and is that just for students in Buchanan?
So we have two scholarships that we give to the local high schools.
Okay.
And so if they either have to be entering the agriculture workforce right out of school, or they have to be attending college enrolled in agricultural classes.
Okay.
And so we'll give to one at each high school in Botetourt County. And then we also have community scholarships, and those are for any nonprofits in the community that apply, and they come help us at the festival, and then in return we give them a scholarship for helping and for their organization.
So what about the Roanoke Valley makes us the perfect place for an event like this?
So we're in a great location with many things for visitors to do once they're in the area. After visiting our event, we're just a few short minutes from Twin River Outfitters in Buchanan for anyone that wants to float the James River. 20 minutes north of us is the Natural Bridge State Park and Natural Bridge Zoo. And then 30 minutes south of us, once you get into Roanoke, you have the historic Roanoke Star and Mill Mountain Zoo to visit. Center in the square, the Virginia Museum of Transportation, and Virginia's Blue Ridge is also the America's East Coast mountain biking capital. So there's plenty of options for indoor and outdoor activities. So while visitors are here for one event, we need to show them what all our area is about.
Yes, that's perfect. You really encompass a lot of what our region is, and it's truly so beautiful, which provides a lot of great opportunities for things like this. And there are special after-hours photography sessions that people can register for at Beaver Dam Sunflower Festival. So are these classes taught by you?
They are not taught by me, but we do have after-hour options where photographers can come in with their clients and schedule times when there's no or very little traffic. So they can catch those special family moments like engagement sessions, high school seniors, and family photos.
Oh, I see. So these are not classes. This is when photographers can come in and do sessions for clients.
Yes.
Okay, correct. That's really cool then, because like you said, low traffic, but still be able to catch the beautiful scenery. Okay, so I know a lot of people who do attend are looking to get the perfect selfie or artsy picture of the views. Do you have any best practice picture taking tips?
So that's kind of what it's all about, right? Is that perfect picture? So once on our property, though, there really isn't a bad view. So we always suggest finding that perfect spot that the client likes. Make sure nobody's looking directly into the sun, and just relax and have a great time.
Yes, I know when the festival begins, my Instagram feed is always covered with pictures of people going. Even when I was in college, it was like, if I hadn't heard that the Sunflower Festival had started, I knew right away.
Absolutely.
What do you guys do in the off season? Like, when do you start planting the 600,000 sunflower seeds?
So a lot of people think, well, it only happens in September, so that's kind of the end of it. And in the beginning, that was true. Mm-hmm. But now I usually start in January.
Okay.
And February 1st is when we start collecting our vendors. Mm-hmm. So February through April, the vendors apply. By May, we let them know if they're accepted. And then that just kind of goes along each month until the festival starts and we're in contact. But then we don't plant the flowers till July. So okay. It's a quick turnaround. It takes about 8 weeks for them to grow and bloom by the festival. So in the off time during those times, we're keeping up with the acreage, like the ground, keeping it mowed. We have all the photo booths to set up and the entrance booth, and we have a educational grain bin that when you walk into it, it has our history from the time we opened, or from 1900 till present. And we have items in there that we used to use, like when milking the cattle and feeding the calves and things like that, so people can learn our history. So all those things we have to, you know, get set up and get ready, and signage and stuff. So all that takes place kind of mid-August till we open in September. But then we also work on sponsorships and setting up the, you know, the dinners, and then just keeping up with all the vendors and making sure, you know, they've turned in everything that they need to turn in, and our VIP bags for our opening night and things like that. So, and then once the festival's over, we actually harvest the seed for bird seed.
Okay.
So the flowers stay in the field until they're dried, which is usually between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it just depends on how wet of a winter or fall it is as to when the seeds are ready.
Okay.
But once they're dry enough, we harvest those and bag them for birdseed. And then we distribute those to Northwest Hardware.
Wow.
So people can come to the festival and enjoy them there and then feed their birds in the winter.
That's so awesome. You get to have a little piece of it all throughout the year. And here I was thinking that, oh, this is perfect timing. The Sunflower Festival ends like mid-September, late September. You guys have October to kind of wind down, and then you guys can be off during the holidays. But you might be just as busy during the holidays as you are in August getting ready for it.
It's not as busy, but it's still, you know, once we're done with the harvest, we kind of take off December, January, and then work back into it. So.
Good. Okay, so now it's time for our next level adventure. And what better adventure than attending the Beaver Dam Sunflower Festival and Vendor Show? So, Candace, can you detail how to really get everything out of the festival to make it a next level adventure, as opposed to just a quick half an hour at a sunflower field?
Sure. So if you're arriving on a weekend, there'll be plenty to keep you busy for multiple hours. We have over 10 photo booths, including two love signs that draw people in for photos. You'll want to wear your outfit cute, but practical shoes for those. We suggest no high heels because you are on a farm after all, and you'll be doing a lot of walking. You'll want to make sure to take in the hayride while you're there. This ride takes you through a special section of flowers that's not accessible by foot. And then while on the hayride, you can listen to our Roanoke area musicians playing out of our renovated barn. Sunscreen is a great idea. And for anyone allergic to bees, make sure you bring any medications you may need. And then while shopping with our 115 vendors, we do have two ATMs on site in case you run out of money. We want to make sure you have plenty to spend with those. And then most vendors take cash and credit, but not all of them. So just make sure you come prepared for that. And we are cash only at the door.
Okay. That's very good to know. All of those are some helpful tips for making the most out of our time over there. So one thing I did want to ask is, are we allowed to cut sunflowers?
So we do have sunflowers available for purchase.
Okay.
And you can get them on your way out. And we've kind of had to change that over the years because people love them so much. Mm-hmm. They would rip them out of the ground and, you know, we'd see whole sunflowers just exiting the event. So we do have those for $2 a stem as you're on your way out.
So Candace, thank you so much for being here and for growing, pun intended, not initially, but then when I saw that, I had to go with it. So thank you so much for being here and growing such a great opportunity for fun in our region.
Thank you.
Well, now with me, I have the Executive Director for the Regional Center for Animal Care and Protection, Mike Warner. Mike, thank you for getting out of the office with us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here today.
Absolutely. So can you talk a little bit about yourself and your time with RCACP?
Well, most of my background is in law enforcement. I retired from the county for 34 years, and then I was asked to temporarily stay at the shelter for a little bit and work there, and that's turned into a long process of 6 years, and it's a great place to work, and it's not many places you can go every day and play with animals and still get paid, so it's a fantastic place.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. So 34 plus 6, you're at 40 years with the county in some capacity.
And I'm only 19.
Yes, you are. So can you tell us a little bit about what RCACP does?
Well, RCACP is the regional shelter, mm-hmm. and we house stray animals for Roanoke County, Roanoke City, the town of Vinton, and also Botetourt County. So we're what you're classified as the government shelter for the Roanoke Valley.
Okay, and how does that differentiate from the SPCA?
Well, the SPCA is more of a humane society type setting. Their goal is to try to take in animals from us and other localities that are already usually spayed and neutered and ready to go. Mm-hmm. We're strictly a holding facility. We try to keep them there for 5 or 10 days until their owner can reclaim them. If not, then we run them through our eval process. We also spay and neuter and adopt. But then SPCA, Angels of Assisi's, Franklin County, other humane societies pull from us and have their own adoption programs.
Okay, sounds good. So I know you all have the Adventure Dog Program.
We do.
And back in the fall, I participated where I took a pit bull, Moki, out for the afternoon. We got to do some exploring. Me, as a never owned a dog person.
It was very fun, wasn't it?
It was. A pit bull was an interesting choice. But it was fun and it was exciting. And I think that this is a great opportunity for people in the community to have some fun, but it also helps out on your all's end as well.
It does. And we started the program back in 2019 after working with Virginia Tech doing a research program. We had students come in and look at the animals and take samples of their urine, and they were able to distinguish that if they stayed in a shelter a long period of time, they were not releasing the amount of, I guess, cortisol that they needed to release to make them feel better.
Okay.
It's a long depth program, but yeah. Over a year's time of samples and doctors checking them and stuff like that, we kind of came up with, okay, what can we do here at the shelter to get the dogs out? As you know, at the shelter, you know, you can only have so many employees, so there's just not enough employees to go around for every animal. So we started this program to have citizens come in and volunteer for us, just like you, mm-hmm. Take a dog out for a day and decide where you want to go, exercise it, let it walk, and then bring it back, and they're just so much better relaxed in the shelter. Yeah. The shelter can be a stressful place for an animal. You know, there's limited space. You know, they're in a small area for their housing, a lot of barking, a lot of noise, mm-hmm. a lot of activity that's going on that they might not understand, not like being at home laying on your couch.
Yeah.
So getting them out and having that time, that freedom to go out and about with a different person is just a fantastic program, and it's really worked out really well for the animals there at the shelter.
Yeah, and starting it in 2019, wow, you guys really lucked out with the timing, because that was right before COVID, and then this was something that I'm assuming you all were able to keep going then in 2020 and 2021 even.
We did, and it really exploded during that mm-hmm. time, because people were looking for other things to do because right. places were closed, and you know, we started to put out more social media events saying, hey, if you're tied up at home and you want to get out, here's a good opportunity. Take a dog out, relax, go out on the Greenway, Parkway, wherever you want to go, and just kind of relax with the animals. So that year and a half or so that we were all mm-hmm. kind of locked down, it really did explode quite a bit. And we were able to keep the program going during that time. So
that's awesome.
Worked out really well.
Yes, it did. And I think even somewhere along the line during COVID, it came out that dogs can't transmit COVID. So it was even more so like, hey, a dog really is your best friend right now.
Right. You know, I think when it first came out, you know, everybody was scared. We didn't know much about the mm-hmm. disease. But, you know, after that, then everything just kind of picked up for us on our end. And yeah. more people started adopting animals, too, during that time. So it was a win-win for us.
Yes, absolutely. And kind of like what I said, I had never owned a dog before. And so this is an opportunity for people of all comfort levels. This doesn't have to be you grew up with dogs or you even have dogs in your home. Like, I know nothing about owning a dog.
Right. And, you know, we have a little application process that you mm-hmm. fill out. You kind of tell us what you want to do. You know, are you going to be walking a 5-mile hike, or are you going to go to just a store? Are you just going to go to a park and sit on the bench and let the dog just kind of sit there with you? Mm-hmm. So we kind of try to pick the animal with the person that's participating in the program. So, you know, we're not going to give you a 8-year-old dog to go up McAfee's Knob or something. Yeah, that's just not going to work out. So we do try to pick the animal with the person that's coming in to be a part of the program. And a lot of times, you know, we have people that come in just saying, hey, I've got 30 minutes, mm-hmm. they'll go out in our yard and just sit with them on our park bench and let them, you know, get the fresh air and walk around. So it's, you know, it can be a large event for half a day, or it can be just a few, you know, 30 minutes to an hour at our place and let the dogs out a little bit. It just helps out. I just don't have enough staff to do that. So anything is better than nothing.
Yeah, even just on a lunch break then, it sounds
exactly.
like. Okay,
exactly.
That's really good to know. So I feel like when Moki and I went on our adventure, we did some of the more classic things, like what you talked about, walking on the greenway, hiking through trails. We did get the pup cup. I am so curious, what is the craziest story you have heard about somebody doing with their adventure dog?
I think a lot of them take them to Home Depot and Lowe's, and you'll see them in the electrical department. They'll hold up some type of plier or something and say, hey, I'm shopping with, you know, this dog today. It's from the RCACP. So we get a lot of good pictures of the puppy cups of in the stores, that wherever you can take animals. And but it seems like the home improvement stores bring out the best pictures, especially in the flowers and stuff like that.
Oh, so, that's true.
Yeah, it's kind of neat to see those pictures. But we've got a lot of social media posts of where the dogs have been. A lot of hiking, a lot of people will go up to the Appalachian Trail and take pictures of, you know, signs that are up there saying, hey, we're at wherever we are, milepost, whatever. So it's entertaining for us because it's nice to see those posts so we know that where the dogs have been.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know they're getting out and getting some fresh air and getting some exercise. So it's really good.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I have heard that Home Depot or Lowe's, they do hours during certain parts of the day where you can take dogs.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So they just went shopping, just, you know, looking at the tools.
Help them do some shopping.
Yeah.
All right. So what are some other ways that people could get involved with RCACP?
Well, we have a pretty large volunteer program, and if you'd like to, you can contact us at the shelter and get in touch with our volunteer coordinator. We're always looking for people to go out and do events with us at different places over the weekend. We try to frequent, like, Tractor Supplies, so we encourage that. But if you don't have time to really give that type of commitment, this RAD program is a great program for you because it's no commitment at all. You know, you just come in, do the paperwork, take out a dog, and it's, if you want to do it one day a week, if you want to do it once a month, it doesn't matter. So it's really an easy way for the public to get involved without having to make some long-term, you know, commitment to be at the shelter every weekend or all the events that we do. So I just encourage people to get out, check out our dogs, take a look.
Do you have any other events coming up in the next few weeks?
For the rest of the month, we're working with NBC Clear the Shelter.
Okay.
So every weekend, we're doing some type of special or some type of, you know, something to draw people in for the weekend. And our goal is to try to get as many as we can out during the month of August. And that's been sponsored by NBC. WSLS here in Roanoke has been a great sponsor of that. And it's just really good that we can use that type of media to they've done several shows in the evening at 6 o'clock news, and it's really good to get that information out. You know, summertime, school's back in session, everything seems to be slowing down a little bit, and we're not seeing the traffic that we usually see because people have other things going on in their life. So it's nice to kind of remind the citizens that, hey, we're still here, we still have animals, and they still need a home. So come on down and see what you can do for us.
Okay, well, sounds good. So that'll lead us into the second game of the episode, which is Roanoke Rapid.
Ooh.
So I will say a word or words, and you will say the first place, memory, or thing that comes to mind. Or maybe I might mix it up a little bit this episode, and it'll be a little bit more of a this or that.
Okay.
Okay, so are you ready?
I think so.
All right.
It's not multiple choice or anything, right?
No, not multiple choice. We keep it easy in all ways. All right. Ready, set, go. Saturday afternoon.
Fishing, Swift Mountain Lake.
Okay. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Favorite kind of dog?
Boxer.
Oh, wow. If you were a dog, what kind of dog would you be?
A boxer.
Okay.
They're fantastic.
I feel like I don't know very much about boxers.
I've had them all my life.
Really?
Yeah, and before I came to the shelter, I had a boxer for 14 years, and we had to put her down for cancer, and
aww,
it just devastated us. And, you know, I know what people go through. I mean, they're family members. You know, they are. And but she was so smart, so sweet, and it was tough. Aww. But I've always had that breed, and it's just been hard to get back to it. And right now, being at the shelter, I have, like, 112 dogs today.
Yeah.
So I've got plenty of animals to play with.
You have lots of pets. Okay, so the last one will be, I had it and now I lost it. This makes me nervous. I think I get more nervous than the guests do every time. Okay, yes. So, summertime in Roanoke.
Summertime in Roanoke. Boy, that's a good one. There's so many things to do.
Yeah, you can list them all the things that come to mind.
Let's see. Well, first thing I guess would come to mind is we always try to have a family picnic around the 4th of July.
Oh, okay.
So that's always fun.
Yeah.
Getting everybody together. You know, just eating fresh vegetables out of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the market and getting fresh vegetables. That's always good.
Yes.
But I'm kind of the more the lake person.
Yeah.
So I hang out at the lake most of all summer usually. So I enjoy that water sports and jet skis and boating. So
it's a good place to be.
It is. And it's getting, seems to be getting a little bit more crowded every now and then. But
I know.
but yeah, it's fun. And we enjoy it all summer. But I'm kind of looking for a little cooler weather too. So
really?
If we could have a little bit of fall, I'd be okay with that.
I have started to see fall decorations out. I've even started to see Christmas decorations out, and that's made me ready for fall.
Yeah. Not ready for snow, but just, you know, if we could get into that like 75 to 80 degree, no humidity, I'm all about that. That would be fantastic.
That would be a nice change.
We don't ever have a good season. It's either hot here or cold. It's never that intermediate type weather. So.
Yeah, and now that we're approaching end of August, you would be thinking like fall's here in a couple weeks, but really summer could be for the next month or even 6 weeks.
It could. That's true. Very
true. You never know. We've had snow in October and we've had like 90 degrees in October.
Yes, we have. It's kind of crazy season sometimes.
So. Yes. Well, Mike, thank you so much for being here and for taking time to share more about yourself and the RCACP. I am sure that I will be checking out a dog again. I think I'm overdue for another adventure dog visit.
Well, thank you so much for having me today, and y'all come on down and adopt an animal.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
It would not be an episode of Out of the Office without Alex North joining us to talk about all things happening at Parks and Rec. Alex, welcome.
Thanks for having me again. It's great to be back and out of the office.
Absolutely. We're always happy to have you. So the Parks and Rec quarterly publication just came out, Rec Life. Can you give us some of the highlights?
Yes. Registration is open and Rec Life is available online, and it hit mailboxes a few weeks ago. And you can pick the physical publication up at all of our recreation centers. So Brambleton Recreation Center, Greenbridge Recreation Center, and Explore Park. So what's featured in this seasonal publication for fall is all of our new fall programs, including we have our swim lessons, our slate of swim lessons is included, our outdoor programs at Explore Park, including a new intro to mycology, which focuses on fungi and mushrooms.
Wow.
And that's a really cool new program that we're having. We have Little Tykes basketball and soccer returning to Greenridge Recreation Center. And we also have our wellness and art and lifestyle classes going on at Brambleton Recreation Center. So a jam-packed guide full of programs, and not all programs are in the actual brochure. So folks can go on to our website at RoanokeCountyParks.com to register online for our full slate of fall programming.
Awesome. Well, so in addition to the fall programs, we also have some fun fall events coming up. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yes. So kind of as we wind down summer and gear into fall at Splash Valley specifically, we have two new events that benefit, kind of have a dog theme to them. So we have a dive-in movie coming up on Saturday, September 2nd from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. where you can dive into the pool and watch a movie. Kind of a play on words there, but the water park will be open extended hours till 10 p.m. and the movie Super Pets will be showing on the big screen out at Splash Valley. So that'll be a really cool event, and admission is $7, or you get in free with a donation item to RCACP. So that's a really cool opportunity that we have to partner with that organization here in Roanoke County. And then we also have a Pooches in the Pool event. So our last day of operation for Splash Valley is Labor Day. And so following that, in order to shut the pool down before you do that, we'll get the dogs in there. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day at Splash Valley, kind of a bark in the park atmosphere. And it's the first time we've had it in a long time, to my knowledge. And so Pooches in the Pool is coming up on Saturday, September 9th from 11 a.m. to 3:30. We have two different time slots. So if your dog is under 25 pounds, that's the early morning wave from 11 to 1. And then from 1:30 to 3:30, we have dogs over 25 pounds. So,
Okay. Yeah,
if folks want to register and learn more, they can go to SplashValleyWaterpark.com and register online and learn a little bit more about those events.
Okay, well, that is very cool. So we're not out of the woods yet. We still have some things happening over at Explore Park. What's going on?
Yeah, so our final Tavern Stage Summer Music Series event is coming up on Friday, September 8th. and that features Christian Q and the Groove. So we're looking forward to having them kind of close out our summer series. It's been great so far this year. We've had about 400, 450 people on average at the events, a little over 1,600 folks total for our summer music series, which has been great. It's been a great addition to Explore Park, and our partners over at Twin Creeks Brew Pub have been able to utilize the stage as well throughout the summer for some different music events, and they just recently celebrated their Creek Fest, which is their anniversary of their Twin Creeks Brewing Company in Vinton. They had that with a bunch of musical acts as well. So, you know, we've really been fortunate to have that new amenity out at the park for visitors and, you know, locals to enjoy up at the brew pub.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I know I went to one, and I am planning to go to the one in September. So it's been great to have that resource, have another opportunity for live music and just a lot of community.
Yeah, and then, I mean, with other fall events, I forgot to mention earlier, but we have Touch a Truck, which is coming back.
Yeah.
For the first time in a while, and so this is our 12th time having the event out at Green Hill Park, and that's kind of a really unique experience where folks and families can come out and really see, learn, and actually physically touch and get up in some of these vehicles that they see on the roads and throughout their day-to-day that, you know, you normally don't have access to. So that's something that we're looking forward to. And then back again at Explore Park, we have our Adventure Saturday and Artisan Saturday combined event on September 16th, and of course with most Adventure Saturdays we have a Twilight Zip experience as well for that one. So that'll be one of our last two opportunities for the fall to go and soar through the trees at night with a headlamp at Treetop Quest.
Okay, and speaking of the Touch a Truck event, you also have another opportunity in October for National Parks Staff Appreciation?
Yes. So that's one of our new programs.
Okay.
Our outdoor recreation programmers have been working with our park staff to plan a Parks Appreciation Day.
Okay.
And so it's coming up on Friday, October 6th, where folks can come out. It's a paid program, but folks can come out and see some of the big equipment that you'd see in our parks, some of our bigger mowers, some of our bigger tractors, and bigger heavy equipment that, you know, you might see being utilized in our parks to maintain our ball fields or maintain our green spaces. Mm-hmm. And so families and kids of all ages, really, I'll say, can come out and experience that and get to learn a little bit from our park staff about what they do every day to keep our parks and green spaces maintained and beautiful throughout Roanoke County. But then they'll also be able to see them up close and learn a little bit more about what's going on from the Parks Division. So that's the first time we've done that in a while, and it's really a unique process and a unique opportunity for us to work hand in hand with our folks on our parks operation side as well as recreation.
Well, there's definitely plenty to keep you busy and our listeners busy, so thank you for hopping on and sharing all the things happening in the Parks and Rec world over the next couple of months.
Yeah, it's always great to be here. And if folks have any questions or need more information, visit RoanokeCountyParks.com or follow us on our social media, Roco Parks on Facebook, Instagram, and at Recreation on Twitter.
Perfect. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to Out of the Office. We hope this inspired some fun to look forward to during the final weeks of summer. Share this episode with a friend you want to go to Beaver Dam Farm Sunflower Festival, say that three times fast, or share with someone you want to take with you on your adventure with a pup from RCACP. We hope to see you out at some of the parks, recreation, and tourism events. In the meantime, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast and tag us in your Out of the Office pictures.